get started. So first thing tonight is the Lego robots for the library. Natalie and I met last week to discuss it. I've given you the printout she gave me. Essentially, these are a STEM learning tool for three different age groups. That's the preschool, elementary, and middle school. It's on the table in the back. It's a total expenditure of just under $6,500. And so we went ahead and approved it. The plan right now is to use some of the money for the softball season that was canceled to pay for these so that this program can be utilized. We expect this to be a pretty big success. As you can also see that we are getting a grant to cover some of this cost, so that's why it is where it is for the tablets. We only have to pay 10% for the tablets, which is the bulk of it. So we are getting a lot of value for our money, and just wanted to make you aware. Natalie, when do you expect to start the program? Great, thank you. And that chip shortage seems to catch everything about start of the new year. Anyhow, but wanted to make you aware of that program that'll be starting. Any questions?
That's great. Legos is the reason my son's an engineer in Detroit right now. So
understand, it was Rector sets that got me.
For iPhones, I'm in favor of it. That's good stuff, man.
So next on the agenda is the next year's Freedom Celebration. Kind of wanted to open this up for a discussion, mainly on the day. Next year, 4th of July falls on a Monday, and we did receive some feedback this year questioning the Thursday, and quite a fair amount of feedback, I think, to multiple people. So I wanted to really just open it up as a discussion with the commission. What day would they like? I lean towards Friday or Saturday. Is my initial. There would be a little bit of extra cost in terms of overtime and for the fireworks, but it would probably be better attended in moving it to a weekend day. What are y'all's thoughts?
Well, if Monday is the 4th, that's what you're saying, then the 2 days that you mentioned, well, Friday, it would not be a holiday unless their company gave them an extra day on the weekend off. It'd be
right
going forward from Monday or whatever. It seems to me like a day that would be a holiday would be, or not have to work, would be an ideal situation as we look at this.
Sunday the 3rd, would that be?
That would certainly be an option. My only thought was not everyone's going to be off on the 4th. They may be more likely to attend on a Saturday when they would be off on a Sunday.
And didn't we have a problem with his schedule on the, like, the day before the 4th years passed?
So for the fireworks company, if we get in early enough, they can work around it being on the day before or the 4th. Obviously, the 4th is their, one of their very busiest days, so the availability to get one of their better teams. But if we're getting them a day this far in advance, we should be able to have the quality pretty good.
I like Saturday.
Saturday. Is that kind of the general consensus? Are we still?
I'd prefer the 3rd.
The 3rd?
Stick with tradition to keep it off of a Saturday.
I do too. We're gonna lose a lot of people intentionally over that.
So,
I mean, that's a, you know, they're taxpayers too, a lot of them.
Some of the initial feedback we received is we wouldn't, from a lot of the longstanding citizens, that they would not have a problem with doing it on Saturday night.
They would not.
Would not, correct. They were differentiating city functions in their private choices. And it would be, I mean, they would have the option to come after dark. That was why I was shying away from the Friday night,
That was some of the feedback and complaints that I got, that we were not taking into consideration everyone's religious beliefs and we were trying to make things better for the Seventh-day Adventists than we were the rest of the community. So I think that, I guess I'm at the point to where we need to schedule it for the whole community, not just part of the community.
Okay.
Well, there's no doubt I believe that. I don't believe you've ever done it the way you just described it.
Pardon?
There's no way I believe we've ever done it, and not taking into consideration the people who go to church on Sunday night. No. That's always been a consideration.
We've leaned more towards the Seventh-day Adventists, protecting that right.
We just
leaning more doesn't mean we haven't taken care of both groups, though.
That's true. I'm just telling you what people said to me.
I think
we need to take that into consideration. Since they started at Southern all those years ago, that's the reason they started the schedule more as the way it was. And then when it moved to the over here to this side of the mountain, that it's continued to be that way. And I think we need to be very careful about taking everyone into consideration.
I agree.
Then I think Monday the 4th would be the best night to fire them off, because that's the holiday and we wouldn't be competing with as many other fireworks, because usually Chattanooga falls on the 3rd or previous before as well.
Yeah. I'd be concerned that a lot of people aren't going to have Tuesday the 5th off, though.
No. Yeah. They might get Monday, or if they take that whole week off. But now, if it's on Saturday, those that when the sun goes down, then it would be open to everyone, no matter what the religious beliefs, because when the sun goes down, we don't shoot fireworks until when the sun goes down. So anything prior to that would just be optional, like it is. Like I make accommodations even though my Sabbath is on Sunday. I respect those around me that it's on Saturday also, because we serve the same God. But I think that's fair, to be honest with you, that what you're suggesting is, because then it opens for both of them and they can have a choice as to what they want to do.
We could throw up a Weebly poll on our website for, say, a week, week and a half, and get some citizen feedback. And I can present that at a commission meeting to just let you know the results of it between, say, Saturday and Sunday night.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
I think that would give us some strong feedback.
Yeah, we can push that on social media and that sort of thing, and we can do it for, yeah. We'll run it for about 10 days, and then I can give you all that information, and we can let that kind of push us between Saturday and Sunday night. Are those the two?
How much time do we have before we have to notify the person that's doing the fireworks before he starts?
There's not really a deadline. Typically, in the past, it's always been towards the end of the year.
I know 3rd has always been our tradition, more or less.
Yeah. I like Saturday night because that gives people Sunday night to go to either Chattanooga, or usually they have it, you know, the day before or something, so.
Well, that'll take an awful lot of our community out of the whole afternoon, and if that's what we want to, you know, if that's the direction we choose to go, then so be it. But I really believe that Monday, I don't see any challenge with Monday. I mean, stay up till it's over. I mean, that's typical bedtime for most people anyway, so.
And Monday night would allow people to have travel Friday, Saturday, Sunday, be out of town, and then come back Monday evening.
I can have all 3 days.
I was going to suggest let's put all 3, because Monday may be the one that people prefer.
So we'll do that. We'll push out through the website, social media, et cetera. Give us a couple of days to figure out the format of the poll. And then we'll come back to you in about 2 weeks with the information, and we can go from there.
Sounds good.
About how many attended this year?
I'm not sure. I would guess 4,000 or 5,000.
Say, yeah, in the 4,000 to 5,000 range. I'd say we had about 1,000 people in the field over here, and maybe 2,500 over here in the commons. And then obviously it transitioned.
One more thing. I'd like to thank you all for providing parking for some of us here. That was much appreciated. And the gentlemen who helped us in and out were first class. So thank you all.
So next on the agenda is the EMS station property. I spoke with Mayor Coppinger, and the county has indicated they'll donate that property to us. And so what, this is an unbudgeted expense, but what we were leaning, the recommendation coming from staff is to do a remodel, to put public restrooms there, and then utilize the rest of the space as flex space for Parks and Rec. It'd give them a place to park the box truck. They're utilizing a golf cart going between their offices and there. And then we would tear down the non-weight-bearing walls to just use as conference rooms, but try to minimize the remodel cost. We've not been inside the building, do not know the exact condition. At one time, there was a leaking roof that I'm told has been repaired and everything's been remediated, but we've not confirmed that. There would be some expense in remodeling the exterior as well. So I also wanted to open this up for general discussion. Is that kind of the direction the commission would think?
So historically, they've had a problem with mold over there mm-hmm. before the leaky roof.
Okay.
I don't know if they ever got that remediated or not.
We've been told that it was,
okay,
but not verified.
So it's got a kitchen in it as well, I think.
That's good. That's good.
Two bedrooms or rooms for people to sleep there that works 24-hour shifts. I'm okay with restrooms.
Yeah.
And storage for like lawnmowers for the greenways or equipment for the greenways or whatever we need to do it. I'm not so sure about a conference room, just me personally. Not a lot of parking there.
Right. So we were thinking more storage for Parks and Rec because that has been something they struggled with, and we would like to relocate their outside storage unit from the rear of that building when it becomes the front. From talking to Eric, the landscapers are utilizing an enclosed trailer, and it's much more efficient than parking mowers in multiple locations, mm-hmm. Which is why we were leaning more in that direction. And the idea with the conference rooms was more just to not spend a lot of money trying to do something designated. It was just paint it and utilize it as we need. If it ends up being more storage or that sort of thing, or a quiet space to work, that we were trying to leave it pretty open-ended at this point.
Could it not be for Parks and Recreation? I know at one time they were needing some. I have not been inside it, so I can't say. Could not the space be used for them for like some of their activities and things that they were wanting because they wanted some more space for indoor activities?
Some of it could be, but again, until we go through it and see exactly what's there, what walls have to remain, what walls can come down, we don't really know what we have at this point.
Okay.
I just,
being a Butler building is a blessing because you don't have to worry about load bearing very much on interior walls.
Right.
But those two bedrooms might make great storage if it actually goes the direction of rec.
Mm-hmm.
And you already got them built in. The kitchen I think is wonderful to have available, so I think the parking would be a problem. Mm-hmm. Possibly if you have seminars and groups like that in there.
Right.
But I think for Parks and Rec, it sounds like a real good. And the restrooms would be open all the time, like the ones down at the other end?
They would be like the ones at the EDC, the exterior restrooms.
And they stay 24/7, I think?
No.
No, I think they close at the same time the dog park does. So
which is?
6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
The one thing we might want to think about doing is spraying and get rid of all that grass over there on the asphalt. I don't know if you've seen it lately. It's, yeah.
Let's just do it right, whatever we do, and then we won't have to worry about it for a while.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this approach is generally agreeable, and we'll get better details to present as we move forward. I just wanted to make sure that we were all in agreement before we took it to planning and the commission to accept the building, because it will come with an expense.
And where would we take the expense of that from?
So right now, it would be probably between fund balance and the the additional monies that we received from hall income tax above what was budgeted. So we received approximately $120,000 from hall income tax over what was budgeted. There's about $15,000 in the Parks and Rec Foundation. So that right there, that's about $135,000. So that gets us most of the way until we get better information to see exactly where we're falling. Anything else?
Did you talk to him about the library?
Yes, that's a can of worms.
We'll have to sit down and take him to dinner or something.
Yes, and Natalie's getting some more metrics together for us for that conversation.
Okay.
But he did not indicate much interest in that approach.
We'll keep working on him.
Okay. So next is the Police Department Roundtable by Chief Sapp.
Can we make sure Chief Sapp has a microphone for those watching?
Thank you. So one of the things I'm implementing for the police department is what I'm calling the roundtable group. It'll basically be a board consisting of representatives from the police department as well as city and civilian leadership. The thought process is for us to meet regularly as a group to discuss important issues, to have open and honest communication and feedback from all parties on the table, to kind of serve as an advisory board or committee to me and my leadership staff. And I would like to request that the commission have a seat at that table. I think it's important for everybody on the board to have a voice and to have buy-in in our decision-making process and ways we can continue to work to improve the agency. So that's the overall idea of the roundtable. My thoughts are, Mayor, since you typically appoint for various boards, that you appoint a commissioner, if y'all would like a seat at the table. I'm not sure how often we will meet. I would imagine on the front end, once we get things rolling, since we're so active in our accreditation process and we'll be needing a lot of discussion on policies and that sort of thing, that it might be as frequent as once a month or so on the front end, and then maybe as few as once a quarter or so, just depending on the needs of the agencies or any ideas, thoughts, or suggestions that a member of the table may want to bring up for discussion.
I think it's excellent.
I think it'll go over good.
And we reached out to Dr. Shaw for the civilian seat and seeing if someone out of administration from Southern could fill that for the initial term. We've not heard back yet, but we just reached out. So,
shall we set up most of these appointments that the mayor gives is a two-year rotation?
Well, the seats on the board won't probably be that long, and actually kind of the first meeting or so will be the first group will kind of hammer out how long the seat should be and what's a good term, and it'll need to be staggered somewhat, so as one group is coming off, just similar to the commission, there's a few around that can bring the new folks up to speed, and then they'll rotate out. So I wouldn't think that it would be as long as 2 years, but maybe 6 months might be a good starting point, just to kind of tentatively plan on around maybe a six-month seat, and then we can adjust course, I guess, as we work into it, grow into it a little better.
Okay.
And just so the plan right now, just how the board will be set up, it'll be the department accreditation manager, one lieutenant from the agency, one sergeant from the agency, one corporal, one detective, one officer from each of the shifts, a commissioner, and then a community member or stakeholder at the table. And then probably as well a representative from our court clerk department, or another city leadership role.
Any questions? Okay. Moving on, the Planning and Economic Development Department name change. So we are changing the name to Planity and Community Development Department. This is to encompass more of the roles that they are taking on through the social media, the branding, and that sort of thing. They will still have the same economic development duties. We just thought this was more encompassing of their expanded duties.
What was that again? What was the name?
Planning and Community Development.
Okay.
The last thing on the agenda tonight, I would like to suggest or request moving the commission meetings to 5 o'clock rather than 6 o'clock. It would make it easier for staff to attend. It would cut down slightly on some overtime. Now that we're live streaming the meetings and have an email set up for citizens to email comments or questions that will be read into the public record, we feel like citizens would still be able to attend. Frankly, most of the people who regularly attend are also here now at 4:30. So I believe that it wouldn't hinder the community's involvement in any way. The folks who are coming for business, such as zoning changes, I mean, it's business, they would make arrangements. So I kind of wanted to float that with the commission, see if that was something that would work and was agreeable.
I'd like to suggest we have all meetings at 5, including this meeting and planning session, so everything is on the same wavelength.
So moving this one to 5 wouldn't be a problem. Planning may be just due to the current membership. Thinking of like Todd Lehman, for instance, I know there's been several times that he didn't get out of the county commission meeting and drove straight here to make it by 6, but I can poll them as well and see if they're available at 5 to try to head in that direction. But moving this one to match commission, I don't think would be a problem.
So don't you think that's going to hinder some good people from
running?
Yeah. Because if they work till 5, you're telling them, if you work till 5, we don't want you, to basically what we're telling them. And I don't think that's what we want to tell people.
That's not what we're trying to tell them.
Oh, I know you're not trying to tell them that. But if we got some really quality people who do work till 5, are you assuming they can get off? I mean, what?
I was assuming if they could make it to the 4:30 workshop meeting that's existing, that they could make it to a 5 o'clock meeting.
Well, I certainly don't think that these people are the only ones here that might run for commissioner.
I think it's also one thing to ask off for 4:30 once a month and not 3 times a month, or possibly 4 if you're on the planning commission. Well, the planning commission, you got by 6, but I didn't think about what Commissioner Garber was talking about. Most of us here are self-employed or retired, so or have flexibility at their jobs. Right. Yeah. 5 o'clock is pushing it for some people coming out of Chattanooga.
Do you think 5:30 would be better?
Better than 5 for sure, but not, I don't know if it's better than 6.
Chattanooga, the county starts at 1:30. Mm-hmm. Chattanooga is at 6. Most of the other small cities are at 6 minus Saudi, who's at 7:30.
Yeah, we've always been.
Yes. I did ask Sam about it. He said 5 would work for him, but actually be preferable over 6. And in proposing this, I thought about the 5 of you specifically. I didn't postulate who may or may not be running. So
I think it depends. I mean, I still work, you know, but I'm in a position that because I teach school, but and I do work overtime there, that they're pretty lenient with it because I knew going in I was a commissioner. And even when I was with Hamilton County, they were flexible with me because some schools they change from 4, most of them get out at 4. For those of us who teach, you know, you don't stop at 4 o'clock. And that is a valid point that the Commissioner Garber has, but I think most businesses and stuff see it to their advantage to work with whoever is a commissioner, not just in their, say, for like in Chattanooga, but in the area or whatever, because it's good PR work. Does that make sense? I know people, I have distant relatives and stuff that they meet at 5 o'clock, but we're not the city they meet in. They're in Tennessee, but their companies work with them.
So we'd have to change our city charter.
The charter specifically says six?
Yes.
We'd have to do a lot of ordinance.
Yeah.
So I, you know, for our city, I've gotten used to 6 o'clock, to be honest with you. And if overtime's an issue, then maybe they could flex, you know, an hour.
Overtime's not a huge issue. That was just one of the items that would be affected. What we've noticed is that we kind of have a dead hour for staff between 5 and 6 when everyone else leaves and we roll into the next meeting. So it was looking at a way to gain some efficiency and let employees get home a little bit earlier. That was the impetus for the discussion.
Is there any possibility to do like a trial run?
I mean, we have to do an ordinance.
It'd be an ordinance. What we could do is do an ordinance to 5:30, try that for a while. If it does not appear to be a failure, wait till after the next election and then have another conversation about 5:30 versus 5. That would be another option.
I'm confused. What's the election got to do with it? If they're elected the office, they know what time they're got to meet for the...
That's
the exact point, though. If the meeting's at 5 o'clock, they know that the meeting's at 5 o'clock, so they're going to choose to not run if they have work commitments until then. And with the younger generation, with the younger generation coming up, they work 9 to 5. I mean, you can't assume that everybody's going to be retired or self-employed. So I think taking into consideration what Commissioner Garber said is important. 5:30 is the earliest. I still think 6 o'clock is fine if the rest of the small cities are doing 6 o'clock.
We can leave it. Again, just trying to gain some efficiency and get folks home a little bit quicker.
So. Maybe you do a poll.
I was just about to suggest that as well.
There you go.
I've
been so used now for so many years doing 6. I mean, to me, it's okay. I guess
works for me.
It sounds like you want to get people home sooner.
Those of us that normally do work 8 to 5, and then we end up and we stay on Mondays until 7:30 or so, the difference between 8 and 9 getting home is...
Well, most of our, I guess, commission meetings are over by about 6:15, Mayor.
We are getting
6:30,
quicker.
6:30 at the latest.
We did have a spate, though, that seemed to run until 7:30.
What about, let me ask this, and because I know on Friday we close a half a day, right? And they go home a half a day. Is that already added into the hours? I thought that was added too, because at one time, correct me if I'm wrong, as you know, I'm getting older, my memory may fail me a little bit. Originally, we had agreed to letting them go at 12 o'clock, closing the doors, because they did work on Mondays later, and that compensated a little bit for it.
That was part of that original discussion. This is my understanding at that time, but we're working 9-hour days up and till then.
That's why.
So we still end up on the hourly employees. Who stay, they're still in overtime when they stay. But again, the overtime is not the biggest concern. It's really just trying to gain that efficiency if there's no harm in doing it.
Let's do the survey and then we can get back together.
Okay. Loop back. And if any of y'all have specific concerns, please let's include them in the survey too. All right. Commissioner White?
Nothing tonight.
Commissioner Garber?
Nothing.
Commissioner Baker?
Not at this time, thank you. I think it's all been said. I was going to mention about the Legos, but I'll take care of
it. Vice Mayor Johnson?
Yes, you brought up a very interesting subject about the microchips.
Yes.
I was talking to Eric earlier, and it sounds like most of these new trucks we're trying to order are not going to be here 6 months because of the chip issue. Is that correct? And I know even new car parking lots are just pretty well empty in some of them because they can't get the chips. That being said, we agreed to buy a vehicle,
And since then, he's been having to pay for his own gas and stuff. I'd like for us to discuss that commission meeting. Maybe we could reimburse him some. Because if it's going to be February next year before you get a vehicle, then it's not fair to you that you're expecting that, and we're not holding our end of the bargain up. So if you could put that on the agenda just to discuss it.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless anybody else has got something to say about it.
We'll say the commission.
I was wondering.
Yeah, okay. We can vote on that.
Maybe it's time to get a lease rather than a purchase. I mean, they're out there.
It's the same vehicle.
Not the same, huh?
They don't have trucks to lease either.
Oh, you want a truck.
And that's the problem with rental cars now.
Yeah, rental cars, they just, like, we tried to rent a box truck the other day, and you just can't get them because if the company owns them and they wreck them, they can't buy new ones, so they're all renting. It's very hard to find vehicles right now.
And the other thing I had to say is I appreciate the work that Public Works is doing for us. You know, the city's looking good. I appreciate what the police department's doing. I was a little disappointed this morning. I told the chief, I said, they had this great Facebook post about buying lemonade off the side of Edgemond Road. So after about 15 minutes that was posted, I said, well, I got to go to the store. I'm just going to stop and get me some.
Gone.
The table was there, but the guy, the little kid, was gone. But they said that it was very successful, Chief. Is that correct?
Yeah, the officers that stopped this morning were very generous in their, we'll say, tipping for the young man who was doing it, by the way, to buy a Lego set. So I think he said he needed $25 or $30 for this Lego set, and I'm quite confident that he had at least that when the officers left. So I think he might have just said, hey, I'm
I told the chief he took the money and ran. So it's good to hear. It's good to hear.
They did say that they were going to try to reset up again this afternoon for a little while, but I don't know how the weather is going to affect that.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
that's great, man.
Absent Pike sure has taken a different turn these days. It looks different every day I go by there, it seems like. And down by behind Fausto's, man, they're building a huge wall up there of gravel and stuff. So Talent Road's a little challenge to get used to.
Yeah. Challenge is a nice word.
Yes.
What are they going to do with that? It's right there as you get at the McKees, that one pole that sticks up there on that hill.
It's going to
take it down.
It's going to come down.
They have to rerun the new line first to swap it over so they can cut it down.
You got to go like this around it, just for you.
Anything else, Vice Mayor?
That's it.
Mayor Lamb.
I was wondering about the gasoline, too, and I was going to ask you that in private, but we'll talk about it. I just wanted to remind everybody that the TML convention is in Chattanooga. September 18 through 21, and we need to let Michelle know if we're going, because with every six delegates that are on a single form, there's one that gets to be free. So we need to let her know, because we will get a free member
18 through 21
entry.
You said the 16th through the 18th?
18th through the 21st.
Oh, 18th through 21st.
Yeah, I was going to ask her about that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Mayor.
And I just want to let Natalie know I appreciate Hoopla. It's very nice. I don't know if you've shared it with anybody else, but it's a new way of getting library books. And, man, you just choose your book and hit the little button, and it's right there in your Kindle. And it's great, so.
I'm glad you like it.
But you can only have X number of books, and I've already, per month, and I had that taken care of in 2.5 weeks. So I have to wait till September to start using it again.
Voracious reader.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. That's what I do.
Anything else?
That's all.
Chief Sapp?
I don't have anything else.
Eric?
Right now, the contract for the sewer force main project has materials showing up, so they're breaking ground very soon. Yep. Very happy to see that happen. Materials, how they are right now.
Yes. Yes, in addition to chip shortages, there is a 24-inch ductile iron pipe shortage.
Just the cameras.
Yes.
It's everywhere, everything. Yes. I mean, if you go through the stores, you see that they're not stocked like they were.
Yep.
Well, that's true.
They're waiting Bridget? On because of trucking and all.
Michelle?
I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Adjourned. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Start sharing logins and stuff like Netflix.